is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. One of the critical elements missing for the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center since its opening in 2004 has been steady, long-term leadership. Hopefully, that challenge has been addressed with the hiring of Dion Brown. As the new president of the Freedom Center, Mr. Brown arrives with experience not just in two earlier museums, but also a full 21-year career in the United States Air Force. He is joined this afternoon. Well, he's with me this afternoon. And if you can join our discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Dion Brown,
hey,
welcome.
Sir. Thanks, Dan.
Now, I do have to, right from the beginning here, make a clarification for our listeners that I have a giant conflict of interest, of course, in the sense that I've just spent the last year sitting in as an interim president until you were identified and agreed to come and take on the responsibilities. So I clearly have a great deal to thank you for because you got me out of that. So anyway, welcome.
But having said that, now I have to return the favor because I have to thank you for the leadership that you provided for the Freedom Center. I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. You did such a great job there to keep that place moving while they did this search, and I'm just blessed to be here. But thank you also.
Well, it's an organization that I deeply believe in.
Yes, sir.
What brought you to Cincinnati? And to take this job at the Freedom Center? What was it that was attractive to you?
Dan, as you know or have learned since my arrival, I sit on the board of directors for the Association of African American Museums. And so I've known about the Freedom Center for probably the 13 years I've been in the museum business. And I've had colleagues that used to work here, and I've heard a lot about it, and I just thought it was a great opportunity. I always thought it was a great opportunity. I thought it was things that could be done better from an operational side, because every time I look at a position, I look at it from an operational standpoint. And I've just been blessed to understand operations and been successful in the museum field in doing operations. As far as this particular job goes, I saw there was a need. I was sitting outside with my cousin drinking coffee one Saturday morning, and she says, "You ought to look at this job. It'd be something you might be interested in." And I told her I wasn't looking for a job. And after a time, I said, well, let me look at it. I looked at it. And Dan, I knew that some of the history behind the facility, some of the problems they were facing. And I said, I could make a difference. And then the mission, you know, the freedom, it drew me. Just no more different than going to work for B.B. King. It wasn't B.B. King. It was the mission that drew me there.
B.B. King Museum in Mississippi.
Indianola, Mississippi. Yes, sir.
And then more recently, the National Jazz Museum.
National Blues Museum.
Pardon me. Shoot yeah. me now.
It was
National Blues Museum yeah. in St. Louis.
In St. Louis. I was the founding executive director. I went in there and opened that from a shell to where it is now.
Now, given that background in those, the B.B. King and the Blues Museum.
Yes, sir.
How could that inform what you do at the Freedom Center? And I'll say right now, those people who worked with me at the Freedom Center know that my ability in the music world is nil to minus. So
right.
What might you bring to that? What your experiences in those two facilities?
You know, real quickly, I knew absolutely nothing about the blues. I'm an operations guy. Well, it's all set in operations. So real quickly, when I was in Mississippi, within a week, they said, "Dion, you know who this song is?" It was on the radio, or I was in Mr. King's club. And I said, "Come on, guys, you know I don't know anything about the blues." They said, "You may want to learn that one because that's B.B. King." So from that point forward, I became a blues fan. I learned as much as I could. And where it ties in, I was able to learn the history of the blues with some of the great civil rights moments ever to happen, from Fannie Lou Hamer, which I had never heard. I heard the phrase sick and tired of being sick and tired. But it was an on-site education into the blues and into the civil rights movement and all the great things that happened in Mississippi. Fast forward to this position, I know very little about the history. I know black history. I know about slavery and all, but I know it on the top surface. This gives me a chance to really dig in and learn. So what I bring is an open mind, but I also bring that operation. So between the two of them, I can get the museum operating on a solid level I can learn from the great staff that we have to teach me even more that I don't know. Point me in directions.
When you say operations, how might your career in the Air Force influence that?
A lot. It's the discipline behind it. You know, following rules and regulations, knowing that you want to get to point A, B, and you entrust your team to get you there. I mean, just like the colonel, the base commander, the general, they're there given the vision, but you encourage and empower your team to get you there. You give them the leadership, the tools they need, show them how it's done, and get out of the way and let them do their job.
You've been here about 7 weeks.
7 weeks, yes, sir.
Who's
Monday.
Who's counting?
I'm going to stop counting when we hit 12.
Okay.
All right. Been
here about 7 weeks. And what are your initial insights about Cincinnati?
I love it. You know, since my arrival in Cincinnati, I mean, I've been welcomed at the B.B. King. Luckily, I've had prepared for this position. I've had two high-profile positions in museums, this being the third. I tell you, the welcome that Cincinnati gave me, I've received from Cincinnati and continue to give. Not only do they love the Freedom Center, they have shown me so much hospitality. I almost feel like I'm back in the South. You know, the South, that great Southern hospitality, Cincinnati has done.
We are right on that border.
Yeah, I'm learning. I'm learning. But, yeah, it's been great. I haven't been too many places. I've visited a few churches since I've been here, which means a lot to me. The downtown area, I've been to the mall. I've had to have my staff get me ready for the mall so my wife joins me. She'll know where to go shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about your observations about the Freedom Center?
Yes.
What are your early take on that?
Tremendous staff. And that's where it starts at the staff. Now to bring the staff onto the same playing field, meaning to see the opportunities that the Freedom Center has within its walls and where we can improve on the earned income operations. There are plenty of things that we, from my experience, have shown that will bring in more revenue. You still have to have your fundraising, but there's things inside the walls, the programming that we do that's value to the customers that will also make them want to be a part. I mean, the foundation is there. As my motto, and I'm sure everybody on the team knows it, my motto is going from great to greatness.
So when you say earned income, mm-hmm. that includes admissions?
Admissions, retail. It could be on the type of program we do. I mean, there could be live. I mean, we have the Harriet Tubman Theater there. Of course, I'm connected to music and have a passion for it, and I do believe music unites the community. It opens the doors for other conversations. So there's a possibility to do live shows in the Harriet Tubman.
Which has 300 seats.
300.
It's great.
And it's
great
a beautiful
acoustics.
Facility. It's a beautiful theater in there. So there's earning come there. We have a restaurant that's there that to be used in some sort of fashion.
Close right now.
Right. Yes, sir. But there's plenty of options there. You have built-in customers already at the Freedom Center between school groups that's coming, group tours that's coming. There's a crowd there. Mm-hmm. That's a potential for earned income. We have some beautiful space up in the museum that could possibly be rental space. You know, it's just a lot of opportunities that's within. That's what I was saying. Within our walls, there's a great opportunity to do an increase in earned income.
One of the things that really struck me even this time last year, was how lively the banks are. I mean, with the opening of the GE International Headquarters right next door to the Freedom Center, there is, and the Reds, of course, there's a lot of traffic. And when the Freedom Center first opened down on the banks, it was a pretty lonely place. That's not the case anymore. And also, I would throw in the Central Riverfront Park,
okay.
which draws a huge number of people.
You know, I've lived in a lot of places, not only in Cincinnati, but I mean, not just in the United States, all over the world. I have the opportunity to live downtown. So I live, work, and play downtown Cincinnati. And to see the crowd for the Reds, these 7 weeks I've been here, the crowds that form up down there, there's a lot of foot traffic. So from the Freedom Center standpoint, how do we tap into that to draw even more in? I've come up with some ideas that I've bounced off with our marketing team. Of possible potential partnerships we could do downtown just to open it up. I mean, for example, one of the places down there, the Current at the Banks apartments, mm-hmm. offer a Current at the Banks day at the museum for free. get them in there just to see what it is, because they may
just trying to get your neighbors in, right?
Just trying to get your neighbors in. So when they have family and friends come visit, guess what they got? We didn't even know that place was over. Let's go over there and see. We've seen that building, but what is it? This opens it up for it.
Well, you know, one of my experiences for a long time, not just in this past year, is be in a conversation with people about something about the Freedom Center, and they say, oh, well, I've never been there.
Right.
So for the past year, as the interim, I just carried around vouchers.
That's it.
And said, come, be my guest.
I actually do that even in St. Louis. And it doesn't surprise me. I used to live in Indianola at the B.B. King Museum, which was the largest structure in Indianola, town of 10,000 people. And people say, well, where is it? I mean, it's the biggest building there. So even in St. Louis, it's the National Blues Museum. It's been recognized by CNN, New York Post, and people still say, are you the hockey team? So it doesn't surprise me, but the approach you do, that's why I carry passes everywhere with me. I hand them out, and I track them. And what I mean by that, I put where I gave it to them at, just to see how many came back, how many actually use them. And it's surprising. You get about 50%.
One of the amazing things that I did not realize, and it's one thing to see these statistics on a piece of paper, but as I rode up and down on the elevator every day from my office to the front first floor or to wherever, or was down in the lobby, mm-hmm. I just talk to everybody. That's just my style. And I was absolutely floored by the percentage of people from out of the greater Cincinnati area who visit the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Now, you have to take out the groups of school kids because they don't have any choice. They're just being brought. But it is incredible how many people know about this institution beyond our regional boundaries.
I find it all the time. Every institution, I know it's not the case, but it seems like so many other people could come to your city to tell you about your establishment. I tell everybody all the time that phrase, you don't know what you have till you don't have it anymore. If you live in Cincinnati and move from Cincinnati to any other place, your friends will say, you got the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Mm-hmm. And you forget that you even have it because it's right here in your hometown.
Given the...
If that made sense, given, I probably lost
No, you. I think no. No. Given the mood of the country, one of my observations is that the Freedom Center is actually more important today than it was when it first opened its doors in 2004. That being this safe place of common ground where people of different backgrounds, different experiences, can come together in an honest way is really important.
That's the mission of any museum as far as I'm concerned. It's a place for fair, neutral conversation where you don't have to be afraid to have the conversation. But where you run into the problem is getting people to come and want to do it. So you have to, and in my opinion, the way you do is you take, as this morning we had a meeting with Ms. Cooper, Margaret Cooper. You have to make everybody at peace to have the conversation so you don't feel like you're coming in to make somebody feel guilty or anything. The narrative that you put on the topic is what's going to open up conversations. You can still have the same conversation. It's just how you package it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And that's how you get that dialogue going, when they know they're not there to get beat up on. Or I'm not, you know what I mean? And then once you take that defense mechanism down, you'll get your conversation. I watched it happen in Mississippi. If it can happen in Indianola, Mississippi, where there's a railroad tracks dividing the city from the black side to the white side, it can happen anywhere.
And where was the B.B. King Museum? Which side?
You take a guess.
Black side?
It was on the south side.
And that's the...
But, no, I'm sorry. It was on the north side, and it was put on the north side for that reason. So the south side of the tracks was for the black side of town. The north side at that time was for the white side of the town.
So there was an effort to try to switch things up.
Exactly. It was twofold, to put it on that side, and plus the cotton gin where the museum is built around, Mr. King worked in it as a 15-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things about the Freedom Center is that it's not meant to just be a history museum looking backwards.
No.
It is meant to address contemporary issues.
Exactly.
And I think of a couple of key programs that are in operation right now, a couple of key initiatives, one around modern slavery and one around implicit bias. Can you talk a little bit about those two programs as you've taken a look at them and what their role is moving forward?
I'm more familiar with implicit bias because thanks to Dan Hurley, I inherited that. And I'm telling you, I'm really getting my arms around it. It is amazing the role implicit bias plays in everybody's life. You don't understand how much. But once we break those barriers down, come by the Freedom Center and we'll explain it to you in person. But at the same time, as I was saying, when you break down some of the biases that you have that you don't even know you have, it'll make you rethink how you have your conversations with everybody. And I'm very proud of working with Miss Diane Jordan on putting together a package that we can go out. And they've already started in the schools. It is imperative for people to recognize they have them. There's nothing wrong. Everybody has them.
And that's one of the powers of implicit bias. It's not just about race.
It's much more than
gender.
That.
It's about all sorts of implicit assumptions.
But I'll tell you, when I first
have.
Heard about implicit bias, I thought it was race. See, that was a bias.
And I think that's partly because it's sitting inside the Freedom Center, and I think people on the outside may assume everything's about race.
Dan, you're 100% correct. And I always tell, I've told a few people on the staff, let's look at this through a different lens. And again, once you take that off and this is open and we're talking about more, the history is very important. It's a part of the museum. It is the museum. But it's so much more that history gives us the opportunity to talk about. And that's the open discussion. So I think Cincinnati owes it to themselves to come by and see the Freedom Center.
And by the way, the implicit bias program, which, yes, is working with schools, but also is working with local companies.
Yes.
This is part of your earned income
stream,
right?
That's another source of earned income. It's a great program, and there's a need for it, but that is we're not trying to compete with the major corporations who has their programming. But we have the opportunity to tell you about implicit bias, tie it to our museum, and it's a beautiful experience. Diane Jordan and I, we're working very hard on that program. I'm very proud to be a part of it, and thank you for dropping that one off in my lap.
Well, I also dropping Diane off in your lap is the most important thing I did, probably.
Right.
So she's fantastic. The other thing is the modern slavery, that this is looking also at not just slavery in the past, but slavery today. It's an issue, and the Freedom Center is taking on these sorts of contemporary issues.
Yes. Laura Green oversees that program for us. And it's eye-opening on the products that we have, from T-shirts, the different products. You can go to, I don't know if it's on our website, but she has booklets on it. And it tells you all the, what's it called? Free trade. And it's eye-opening, the products out there that you can purchase. So Laura's doing a great job on it. We meet weekly on it so she can get me spun up on it. So many great programs that the Freedom Center is involved in. It's just hard for me to keep up with them. So I meet with Laura. That's one of the programs.
Well, gee, you've been here 7 weeks.
But I'm one of those guys that want to know it now.
Right.
So I meet with Laura and Diane. Actually, going back to Diane on implicit bias, I was so tired of hearing the word implicit bias. I was avoiding Diane. But now that she's cornered me and she's got me on the page, it is a very something close to me. I want to see it through its fruition. I will. We're close.
Very good. One last area. The Freedom Center is merged with and partner with the Museum Center.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean going forward?
For me, it's a great partnership. It's a growing resource that both institutions can use. We work together on different issues. So at the time, I'll give you an example. We share our HR services. It stops us. They have an exhibits committee. Actually, the most important, I'm glad you asked that question, we're getting ready to tour our exhibit Mandela. We don't have the capacity to do that. But because of the partnership, we can work with CMC team who are accustomed to it. They can market it for us, get it out there on the road, and it's a win-win for both institutions. That's another, here we go, that key source of earned income.
Well, that's a wonderful exhibit
created
by the Freedom Center.
Exactly.
I want to thank Dion Brown for the new president of the Freedom Center for being with us this afternoon. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org.